Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 259. We'll be reading the first 8 verses, and as most always, we'll read these verses responsively. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to thee. We've seen a great and wonderful year in the year 2000. We're so thankful for our church and for the way it continues to progress. We're thankful, of course, for its leadership, and especially in the person of our preacher. We pray for him as he conducts this service, as he preaches to us. We pray that you'd help concerning our hearing of that which you've given him to teach us and to put upon our hearts. Help us to be willing hearers and doers of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read for you before I pray. One verse read a while ago. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject. I don't want to be a success. I want to be a flop. Oh, that's not my last part. Is not it? Somebody said the recession didn't bother me. I was a flop during the boom. But I want to speak this morning on the subject. I don't want to be a success. I read for you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is the only time in the Bible where the word success, I mentioned this recently, where the word success is mentioned. But the Bible does not say, if you'll do these things, you'll be successful. Let me read it again for you. It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It does not say that you'll have success. It says that you'll have good success. Now, there's a difference in success and good success. People would call Madonna successful, but that's not good success. Folks could call Clint Eastwood successful. That's not good success. Folks could call Mr. Trump successful. That's not good success. Folks could call Michael Jordan successful. That's not good success. Good success is mentioned in the Bible. And I want in my life to have good success. I do not want to be a success. I want to have good success. I hope you listen. If I could this morning, what I'd like to do, I'd like to sit down with each one of you just across each other, and I'd like to take what I'm going to say and tell you personally what I'm going to say this morning. I wish I could. Part of this morning is I'm going to bare my heart to you about some things, and I wish I could talk to each of you personally. So if you could this morning, just picture that maybe you and I are the only ones here, and I'm talking just to you as I speak on this subject. I don't want to be a success. I want to be a good success. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to the last Sunday morning of this great year. I stood behind this same piece of wood over 41 years ago. It's been painted and redecorated, but this same pulpit over 41 years ago. And I have stood behind it to preach from this same book all these years. And now as I come to the end of this year, I pray you to help me to be a help and blessing and strength to our people. In Jesus' name, amen. If you sit up straight, listen carefully. I want to talk to you about good success. What is good success? Let me first define it. Good success is one doing what God made me to do. Now, I want to say this. I don't care what you've done as the world counts success. If you live and die and do not do the thing or things that God put you on this earth to do, you are a miserable flop. You may flop with $10 million in the bank, but you're a flop. You may flop as the king of a nation, but you're a flop. God had a reason for you being here. How many times have I said, you're no uh-oh with God, you're on purpose. God had a job to do, and God made you to do that job. I said, the first thing of being a good success is doing what God made me to do. Now, the second thing to being a good success is to doing it where God made me to do it. Now, I think that what God made me to do is more important than where God made me do it. I'd rather the person be doing the what, not the where, and the what, and the where, not the what. I think it is important, however, that I'm going to be a good success, that I do what God made me to do, where God made me to do it. Number three. What is good success? It is doing what God made me do. It is doing it where God made me to do it. And it is doing it how God made me to do it. For example, if I go up and down the neighborhood and knock on doors and say to people, we're going to have a church down here on Sibley Street. I'd like to know what you'd like to have in a church. And we're going to do what we can to give the people of this area what they want in the church. Now, I may build a big church and have success, but ladies and gentlemen, that is not good success. For I may have done what God wanted me to do. I may have done it where God wanted me to do it. Or I may have done it, but I didn't do it how God wanted it done. Let's suppose, for example, I said to you, as a preacher I know, in whose church I preached over 30 years in a row, he got up for his people and said, I've been wrong on standards. I have asked you to live a certain way. I've been too strict. I've been legalistic. And I want to apologize. And we're ditching all the standards that we've had in the past. Now, he did that, I have an idea, in effort to grow. However, he's grown about, he's about half what he had when he did that. But if you could grow a church that way, if I said, okay, now on, we'll let our young folks wear shorts to the activities, and we'll let the ladies dress the way they want to, and we won't fight liquor anymore. A social drink is not going to be against our rules anymore. If that could build a big church, that would bring success, but that is not good success. So good success is doing what God put me here to do, where God put me to do it, how God made me to do it. Now,
quickly, how may I have good success? Well, right there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it tells me how I may have good success. It says, the words of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does it mean? That means that the word of God shall be on your lips all the time. You're supposed to be talking about it and spreading the gospel and so forth. The word of God in on your lips, in your mouth. Then it said that, not only that, but it said, I'm to meditate in it day and night. What does that mean? That means I think about the Word of God. And it's time God's people got in love with the Word of God, where they thought about the Word of God. I'm not talking about thinking about who's going to win the championship between Florida State and Oklahoma all Wednesday night. I'm not talking about the Northwestern game last night, as it was. I'm not talking about thinking about sports. I'm not talking about thinking about vacation. And a lot of people in this room this morning have gone through this season where we're supposed to think about the birth of our Savior, and you thought less about Him in this season than any other time of the year. Now, if you want to be a success, you can be a success by making money, by accumulating real estate, by becoming famous, by becoming popular. You can become successful. But just in case you'd like to have what God calls good success, you're going to have the Word of God in your mouth, meditate in the Word of God, and the Bible says, do what the Word of God says. Similar passages found in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you don't get your counsel from unsaved people. That means you don't go to unsaved psychologists to help you get your mind all straightened out. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You don't hang around the sinful crowd. Or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're not critical. You don't criticize people. You're not scornful about people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Back to the Bible again. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Back to meditation again. Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that shall bring forth his fruit in this season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, that means this. That means if I meditate in the Bible, I speak about the Bible, I do what the Bible says. I do not walk with the ungodly people. I do not walk with ungodly counsel. And I do not sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord, meditate in His law day and night. The Bible says I can have good success. Now, look, I only have one life to live. I saw a sign, a bumper sticker the other day. You may have seen it. I haven't seen it. I called Ms. Howe's attention to it. It says, have fun. This life is no dress rehearsal. I wanted to walk up and scratch it off and say this life is a dress rehearsal too. Now listen, I do not want to live my life, and I'm coming toward I'm in the sunset years of my life. I don't want to finish my life not having done what I was put here to do, and not having done it where I was supposed to do it, and not having done it like I was supposed to do it. I want to have good success. Now, why should I have good success? And here's the sermon. Why should I have good success? What does it matter? Why should I strive for good success? Three reasons. One is, for those behind me. For those behind me. I have lived for those who follow me. My life has been, number one, to try to help do my part to save America, to keep it free for those who follow me. And then my life has been to try to build a little place here, a little oasis here, where our young people can turn out right and live right, and we can live like Grandpa taught and Grandma taught, more than that, like this book talks. It teaches, and not like Hollywood teaches, and not like the modern educational public schools teach. I'm simply saying, I have lived for those who follow me. For 100 years. 100 years, man had tried to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Scientists said it was physically impossible to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. The mile record for years was set by a man named Ben Cunningham, and it was 4.6 minutes. 4 minutes, 6 seconds. 4 minutes, 6 seconds. That was the mile record for years. And for years and years and years, people tried to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Ben Cunningham couldn't. Gene Vinsky, I followed this as a kid, the athletes, and Chuck Finsky and others, they tried to run the mile in less than 4 minutes. But scientists said it simply is physically impossible. In 1957, a young Englishman named Roger Bannister ran the mile in 3:59.5 seconds. Now get this. For years, men had tried to do it. In the following year, after Roger Bannister ran the mile in 3:59.5, 47 different men ran the mile in less than 4 minutes. Why? Because Roger Bannister raised the normal. And Roger Bannister showed it could be done. That's what I've been trying to do to preachers across this country. I've been trying to show them it can be done. And bless God, they've been watching. They've been listening. They've been coming to pastor school. And I've been saying it can be done. It can be done. It can be done. Why? Because I want the young people who follow me in America to have a church on every nook and cranny and street corner and neighborhood and city and village and town in America that believes this Bible and believes the old time gospel. Those that come after me. Today, many high school athletes run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Why? Because Roger Bannister said it could be done, and following him were those that found out it could be done, and they also did. Years ago, in the southern, our churches rather, if you baptized 300 converts in a year, you led the world in baptisms. 300 converts a year. I can recall when First Baptist Church of Dallas led the world in baptisms with about 300 and some odd converts a year. One year, Charles Haddon Spurgeon led the world in baptisms with 500 baptisms in 1 year. Along comes a young man named Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson says, I believe somebody could baptize 1,000 a year. Well, folks laughed at him. What do you mean? 1,000 folks in a year? Good night. That's 20 people a Sunday. Nobody could do that. But Lee Robertson did it. And did it again. And did it again. Along comes the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and says you can baptize 5,000 people in a year. And now there are probably a dozen churches that baptize 5,000 people a year. How can you have good success? You first live your life for those who are coming after you. You know, I live my life for a certain man. Not all of my life, but much of my life is lived for a certain man. I don't know who he is. I'm sure I know him, but I don't know who he is. Who is that man? I live a lot of my life for whoever stands behind this pulpit when this body is resting in Memory Lane Cemetery. I live my life, much of it, for my successor. Did you know if I were 40 years old, what we'd do? We'd build a bigger auditorium. If I were 40 years old, you'd be more broke than you are now. If I were 40 years old, we'd knock out a park, knock out something, and we'd enlarge this auditorium. You say, why don't you enlarge this auditorium? I'll build a new one for the sake of the fellow who follows me. I saw Dr. Robertson build an auditorium, not as big as this, but nearly all on one level, 6,000 seats. Dr. Robertson retired, and the church did not went down, and did not have about half what they had, and he was there, and the auditorium was half empty. Well, you say, Brother House, are you saying that's what's going to happen here? No, I just don't want to leave my successor with an auditorium that's bigger than this one. Do you know why I'm building this building over here? You know why we're building? I'm building this building because I want the fellow who succeeds me to have nice facilities. And I want the fellow who succeeds me to have, I'm working hard to see to it that we are in good financial shape. This church is in better financial shape today than she's ever been. By the way, if I were 40 years old, she wouldn't. I'd spend all that money we got tucked away. Now listen, are you living for the next generation? Or maybe you're teaching a Sunday school class and giving your life to a Sunday school class. Or maybe you have a bus route. But in case you want to have good success, you must give your life to those who are behind you. I beg you, don't let this work die. Don't let this work die. I'm not planning on on dropping dead tomorrow. But folks will drop dead tomorrow. They weren't planning on it. But I'm not planning on it. But I know I've got enough sense to know in a few years I've got to step aside. And I have lived for these kids. And don't you let this church change. And don't you change from the King James Bible. And don't you change from the old-time religion. And don't you change from old-fashioned soul winning. Don't you change from standards and decency and what Mama taught and Grandmama taught and the faith of our fathers. Don't you change from it. I'm saying if you want to have success, stack a bunch of money up. If you want to have success, get popular. If you want to have a success, get famous. If you want to have good success, you live for those who come after.
If you want to have good success, and I do, I do not live only for those who come after me, but I live for those who have gone before me. Listen carefully. Bear Bryant. Everybody knows who Bear Bryant is, or was. Probably the most famous college football coach that ever lived. University of Alabama. Before that, University of Texas A&M. But Bear Bryant, a few years ago, Alabama was playing Auburn. The Alabama-Auburn game is the game of the year. If a coach can beat Auburn, he can lose all the rest of his games and keep his job. He can win all the rest of his games and lose to Auburn, right? You're from Alabama, and lose to Auburn, he loses his job. If an Auburn coach can beat Alabama and lose all his games, he keeps his job. If he loses to Alabama, wins all the games, he loses his job. I could name four or five coaches at Auburn that lost their job because they couldn't beat Alabama. This is good preaching. Come back next Sunday for another athletic lecture from this pulpit. Bear Bryant had a young player, fourth team, named Henry Peterson. Henry Peterson hadn't played a single down all year long. He sat so far back on the bench, he had to buy a ticket to get in the game. Henry Peterson. Coming up was the Auburn game, the big game of the year. So, Henry Peterson comes up to Coach Bear Bryant and says, "Coach, I want to start Saturday." Bear Bryant couldn't believe him. Well, he said, "Man, you haven't played a down yet. I want to start Saturday. Coach, I beg you, let me start Saturday." Coach said, "I can't do that. This is the Auburn game. I can't let you start." He said, "Coach, I beg you, let me start the game against Auburn." After persistence, Bear Bryant decided to let him play the first two or three downs. He was there for the kickoff. Henry Peterson. He was there for the kickoff. In that first half, Henry Peterson, fourth string scrub, scored four touchdowns. Four. The game at halftime, Bear Bryant said, "Son, why didn't you tell me you could play like this? Why, in practice, you can't do a thing. Four touchdowns in the first half." The boy Henry said, "Coach, have you ever seen me walking around the campus arm in arm with my dad?" Bear Bryant said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I have seen you walking around the campus arm in arm with your dad." He said, "You know, my dad died last week." He said, "What you don't know, Coach, is my dad was blind." And he said, "First half of this game was the first time he ever saw me play. The first half of this game was the first time he ever saw me play. Did you know that Paul is watching you play? John the Baptist is watching you play. Your mother in heaven is watching you play. Now the truth is, not only if I want good success, I must live my life for those who come behind me, but I must also live my life for those who went before me." I used to wonder why we wait to receive our rewards. When you die, you don't get your rewards. I've heard preachers say, "She has gone to her reward, he's gone to his reward." No. We won't get the rewards till Jesus comes again. And the judgment seat of Christ is when we get our rewards.
Now, we go to heaven at death, but we don't get our degrees of rewards until the judgment seat of Christ. I used to wonder why. I'll tell you why. I'll read a verse for you. Think I will. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. God, he just listed saints in heaven. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Did you know that my mother cannot get her rewards till my ministry is finished? And I am building rewards. It's sort of the pyramid plan. Like the, what you call it, the, what, how about, Amway. Yeah, like the Amway pyramid plan. My mother, it's like a relay race. Here's a fella who gets the baton, and he runs around the track and hands the baton to the next fella. He gets the baton and gets dizzy as he runs around the track, and he hands the baton to the third fella. But now when the first fella comes back, he begins to cheer the next three fellas. And when the second fella comes back, then the two of them cheer the next two fellas who run around. And when the third fella comes back, they cheer the last fella. Why? Because they will not get a medal unless the last fella comes in first. And ladies and gentlemen, I hold in my hands some medals and rewards my mama's getting, and she's cheering me as I run my race. And it's time you quit living for pleasure and quit living for self. It's time you quit living for things. It's time you decided to live for those in heaven who've run the race, who are watching you as you run, and they say, that's what it means. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. People up there looking down and saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. We've run our race. The baton's in your hands. We want to win the race. In God's name, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a generation of I, me, my, mine, us. What can we get? How much fun can we have? How much pleasure can we have? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this Bible is real. Our loved ones in heaven are watching us, and I'm going to live my life for them. They are made perfect through my life. I live my life for good success. If I have good success, I must live for those who come behind me. If I have good success, I must live for those who are before, were before me. I got the baton from my mama. She can't win the race without me. I got the baton from Dr. Rice. He can't win the race without me. I got the baton from my pastor. He can't win the race without me. I got the baton from Uncle Harvey. He can't win the race without me. And let me say a word here this morning. Something very tender to me. I assumed for years that my father was in hell. He was an alcoholic. So one day I got a letter from a lady who attended my mother when she was dying. And she told me that she heard my mother say that she could see my daddy in heaven. Now, if my daddy is in heaven, he didn't earn a single reward. Not a single reward. If my daddy is in heaven, he has no rewards. But he did give me birth. He did father me. He did, when I was a little boy, put some food on the table. He did give me a job helping him put the oak floor when I got out of the army. I'd love for my dad at the judgment seat. I'd love for him to get a crown of some kind, a reward of some kind. Now hold that in my hands. I wish I could let you know how real all this is. The alumni, they're in the stands. They're watching those on the field. Those who run the race are at the finish line, and they're cheering us. Why? Because we hold in our hands their eternal rewards. The relay race. What is good success? Good success is living for those behind me. Good success is living for those who follow me. But good success is living for those who have preceded me. Thirdly, good success is living for those beside me. What does that mean? That means that I want those who follow me because of me to have a full life. I want those who preceded me because of me to have a full reward. I want those who are beside me to reach their full potential. I want these men on the platform, I want to so live that they can reach their full potential. I want to live to help them. I want to live. David served his own generation by the will of God. I not only want to live for those who follow me and build a work here for those who follow me and live for those who preceded me so I can help them get a full reward, but I want to serve those who are beside me and those who are with me so they can reach their full potential.
Several years ago, a young high school athlete tried to make the basketball team. The day came, they were going to put up on the bulletin board the names of the fellows who made the squad, not the first team, but the squad of 12 or so. This skinny kid was borderline. He knew it. He could not wait till the day came when they had put the roster of those who made the squad on the bulletin board. The day came. This skinny kid came up, looked at the board, and his name was not on the list. He did not make the team. He went home in tears. His dad says, you can make the team next year. You can make the team next year. And he said, do it for me, son. Do it for me. And the boy said, I'll do it for my dad. My name will be on that roster next year. High school team. My name. I'll make it next year for my dad. That young man practiced 4 to 6 hours every day for a year. He gave his life to making the team for his dad. And the next year, Michael Jordan made the team for his dad. I love these men on the platform. They're my pals. I may have mentioned this publicly. I'm not sure I told them. As we had these guests around here, our former assistant pastors, Jim Lyons was here. And I could have wished he'd stayed with me. He and I were together for years. And I'll be honest, I hurt just a tad because he did not stay with me through the years. We never had any trouble. Jim Vineyard, great Christian. I wonder what would have happened if he'd stayed with me. Or, I wonder what would have happened if Brother Fisk had stayed here all these years. And these are fellows my age, my generation. And right here I'm stuck with a bunch of kids, all with the old man here. Craig, he's old enough to vote, but not big enough. Bob O'Clair. And then the strength to push the chat all the way through. I love these men. I'm not sure I mentioned this to you, but I did. I want to repeat it. After it was all finished, Jim Lyons had made his talk on a Sunday night, and all these men that were near my age bracket, I was moved to tears. And I said to myself, I wonder why I couldn't have grown old with those men, and they could have grown old here. And it dawned on me, I think I know why. God wanted to keep me young. I told the men over there that night before the service, what I'm telling you right now, I thank God for these men. They keep me young. But I want to help them. I want every one of my men to reach his full potential. I want to have good success. To have good success, I must have the Word of God in my mouth. Meditate on the Word of God and obey it. I must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners. I must delight myself in the law of the Lord and in his law, meditate day and night to have good success. But why is it so important to have good success? I want to have it for these boys on the front here. young couples here. I want to have it for the kids in the nursery. I'll never get to marry. They'll never know me as a high schooler. I want those who come after me to have what I've had. If you become a good success, you're going to have to live for those who follow you. Does it matter to you? Do you care what happens to the next generation? Sometimes go to a washroom in a public place and see how folks don't give a flip for who comes later. Just look at it.
Brother, I never use a washroom anywhere in America without cleaning the lavatory when I get through. Why? There cometh one after me. And it's time we stop to realize that there are young people here who are going to live in an America that's as sorry as the devil himself if somebody doesn't try to do what they can to prepare a world for them and a country for them.
Then I want to live for those who've gone before me. Mama, you never preached a sermon. You were without. For 12 years you didn't have a new dress, a pair of shoes, a new hat. You walked 2 miles to public school to work in a hot lunchroom all day and walked home. You finished the race. I want to finish it so you can get a full reward. Dr. John, you and I traveled all across the country together for 22 years. Not a place in America, hardly, you and I didn't travel and preach together. Now you run your race. I have the baton. I want to see to it you get a full reward. And then to these men and to you with whom I've been privileged to journey on our way to heaven, I want you to have your potential. Lord, come up here. I cut up with him a lot. Well, I love retarded people.
I love you too. You love retarded people too, don't you? But anyway,
somebody better take this, because maybe the last good thing I'll ever say about him. But I'm proud of this fellow. He's not the best preacher on our staff, but I believe he's the best preacher Roy Moffitt can be. I think Roy Moffitt has come as near reaching his potential as most anybody. He came to me when he was in college and said, "I can't finish college. I'm not smart enough." I said, "You go back out there and finish." And he did. Forgive me for saying it, I think I've had a little part in helping him reach his potential. That's what makes life rich. So, if I can face God in a few years or a few days, and if I can look at him and say, "Dear God, I've lived my life for those behind me, to help those behind me have a full life. Dear God, I've lived my life for those before me to help them have a full reward. And dear God, I've lived my life for those who are with me, beside me, to help them reach a full potential. A full life for those who follow. A full reward for those who've gone on. And full potential for those who are here." I think maybe I can say I've had good success. Good success. Don't people listen to me? Don't just be successful. One of our young junior high girls I was talking to the other day, I said, "What's your goal in life?" And she said, "I want to be a basketball player in the WNBA, Women's National Basketball Association." Not going to understand why. She's a poor young lady. And if she becomes the most valuable player, she'll be successful, but she won't have good success. You watch that old man about once, twice a year walk through that door holding onto my arm. Lee Robertson, who showed us that church could run 3,000 in Sunday school when nobody believed it. Who showed us the church could baptize 1,000 people when everybody thought that was ridiculous. You let me have that old man's life at the end of it. You let me stand like he'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Success. Anybody can have success. But if you want good success, you'll have to have the word of God not depart from your mouth. Meditate therein day and night and do all that it says to do. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, understand the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord and in His law. Meditate day and night. And when you face God, be able to say, I live my life so that those who come after can have a full opportunity, and those who went before can receive a full reward, and those who are with me because of me can reach their full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, that is good success. Good success. Good success. Not living for me, not living for myself, not living for things, not living for riches, not living for pleasure. Living for those who come after, that they may have full life. Those who have gone before, they may have full reward. And those beside me, that they may reach their full potential. I do not know when I'll face Him. I do not know how much longer I have. But when I face Him, I want to have had good success. Good success. Not just success, but good success. Would you bow your heads, please?